So today, I didn't just come to eat lunch. How rude would it have been of me if I'd showed up with a bucket of chicken and take a bite off a leg and maybe eat a couple wings. And I was sitting eating all that in front of you and wouldn't share. Wouldn't that be terrible? What if you went to a banquet and you showed up with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and you were responsible to share it with everybody? What if there were 5,000 people there? What if there were 5,000 people there and it was up to you to feed the whole crowd? What are you going to do? Would you panic or would you just say, hey, we're going to have a picnic? What would you do? Today, we're going to talk about miracles. Miracles. So there's a couple of things about miracles that I want you to think about. Number one, I want to ask you a question. How many of you believe that God still does miracles? Raise your hand if you believe that God still does miracles. Amen. All over the house, right? Now, and I want to be a little personal. I want you to be honest. Be really honest about this. How many of you have ever seen God do a miracle? You believe you've seen God do a miracle? Look at that. Wow, that is awesome. There's a miracle sitting right here raising his hand, Stan Norton. For those of you know who Stan's background, he spent way too much time in intensive care with COVID a couple of years ago, and it's a miracle. Really is a miracle that Stan's with us, and he's still serving. That's a miracle. God does miracles. But I want to caution you because there's a lot of misunderstanding about miracles. When we start talking about miracles and God doing miracles, there's a lot of misunderstanding because I'm not talking about a man-induced faith healing kind of miracle. I'm talking about a miracle that God has done, something that otherwise cannot be explained. A miracle like, well, Stan Norton. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how he pulled through. Doctor said it. A miracle like the doctor says, look, I've looked over the x-rays again and there's nothing there now. Here's the before, here's the after. I have no explanation at all. I've seen God do a number of miracles, and one of them was back when I had just graduated from college, and I was at home for a while, and I was living with my parents, and I was gone for a while, away from the house, but still in town, and I pulled up in front of my house, and there was our car was sitting in the driveway, and flames were coming out of the car. And I ran in the house and said, Dad, the car's on fire. And he looked at me and said, well, of course it is. And I'm like, what kind of response is that? And I'm so confused. And he's looking at me like I'm completely crazy. And the fire department showed up, put out the fire and everything. People were running around. And then I see a man walk out of our house. I'd never seen this man before. He had a black hair, bushy black beard. And he walked out of the house, walked past me, didn't say a word to anybody, and walked up the street. And I'm thinking, did anybody see this man besides me? And then the police said, who was that man who just left and went up that way? And we all said, we have no idea. So the story is, when I finally, we got to calm down a little bit, and I said to my dad, I said, so Dad, what happened? And he's still amazed that I don't know. Because the garage door was locked, or closed. The garage door was closed. The car was in the driveway. Around the back of the house, you'd have to intentionally know how to get around to the back of the house, a narrow path. And the gate was locked. And there were our two hunting dogs were back there who throw a fit about everything. And they were still in the yard. And Dad looked at me and said, Jerry, I pulled the car in the garage. It was a cold January day. And he said, because it was leaking gas. And he said, I put it up on jack stands, and I crawled underneath it with a trouble light. And that gasoline dropped and hit that hot trouble light and exploded into flames. And he said, and you came running out of the house and helped me get the car off the jacks and get it out of the garage before it burned the house down. I said, I did not, Dad. He said, now come on, Jerry. Yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. He said, there's no way I could have done that by myself. You did. I said, Dad, I didn't. Then we realized Who was that man? Yes, true story. True story. We've got to be so careful, though, that we how we categorize these miracles. I've got one more I'm going to share because this is as fascinating as the other. Ever since I've been in the ministry, I've been about church growth, and I had a church call me, and they were struggling. They were small. They were smaller than they used to be, and they were struggling financially, and about every way they were struggling. And so they called me to be their pastor, and I came in and I assessed the situation, and then on a Sunday morning, I called a group of folks into a Sunday school classroom, and I called them into that Sunday school classroom about an hour before church started. I said, listen, we're going to pray today. We're going to pray for one thing. We're not praying for grandma. We're not praying for the auntie. We're not praying for any of these things. We're praying for one thing. I said, I believe that God wants to do something great in this church, and I believe he wants us to start today. And so we're going to pray that God will send us a family. We had no children of much at all to speak of in the church, or teens or anything. I said, we need to pray that God will send us a family that is a strong leader that will come in and be a catalyst to help us grow this great ministry that God has called us to. So we did that. We prayed for about 20 or 30 minutes. We prayed this one thing. And then as soon as we finished our prayer meeting, I walked out into the worship center and began to shake hands like, you know, we always do. And I looked and sitting in the back, I think the back row on from the pastor's stand left, the back row was a man, a woman, and two teenage kids. They were sitting back there. I'd never seen him before. So I went up and introduced myself, shook his hand, said hello, and he was pretty quiet, didn't say much, said thank you. The next morning, I got a call into the church office, and he said, listen, I'm a business owner. My business is kind of small at this point. He said, I need to talk to you about yesterday. Can you come to my office? Well, anytime you're a pastor and somebody says, I need to talk to you about yesterday, you get a little nervous wondering what's going on. So I went to his office. He said, I need to explain to you why we were there yesterday. Okay. He said, my dad is my pastor. My dad has been the only pastor I've ever had. He said, yesterday morning we were on our way to church. He said, as we came past your church, something strongly compelled me to pull in the parking lot. He said, so I pulled into the parking lot and we sat there with my family and we prayed and God told us to go in. So we went in to the worship service and sat down, not knowing what's going on. And he said, now God has been very clear that he wants me to stay and work in this church. I said, really? He said, yes. I didn't tell him all about the prayer meeting. I didn't tell him about anything. I just listened. And for the next several weeks and months, they teamed up with us. This family did. And we started some outreach programs. And in less than 1 year, we saw God double the congregation. 100% growth. There's no doubt in my mind that God brought that man, that woman, and those two teenagers. And by the way, I had the privilege of leading both teenagers to the Lord, and I'm still friends with them today. Yes, we see them quite often. In fact, they go to this church. God does miracles. He really, really does. So I want you to think about a couple of what ifs, okay? What if God were to do a miracle today here? What would, if you were to pull out a blank piece of paper and say, okay, God, here's the miracle that I want you to do today. What would be the miracle that you'd say you want God to do today? Would it be a personal miracle, something in your life, something that you're dealing with? Would it be a church miracle? Would he be answering prayers and some way impacting the congregation or the church? Would God be doing a miracle among us? Then I have one more. What if? What if? What if God only did what you came here today expecting him to do? What if God only did what you were expecting him to do here today? Would anything happen or would you just go home? As I said a while ago, I've been one to, I felt God has really called me to church growth, and I've used that a lot in the past, and evangelism. And I was pastoring a church one time, and we were having a program, and we were encouraging folks to invite their friends, you know, like to invite your friend kind of promotion. And, So I showed up at church one Sunday morning, and I was senior pastor there, and I had to carry a lawn chair up with me. That probably doesn't surprise you at all, does it? I carried a lawn chair up, and I sat down, and they were looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, I brought my extra chair because I expected God to fill this auditorium today. And they all looked at me. The reality is, we expect to come in every day and sit in our seats, in the same seats and the same people by everybody around us. And we say, God, I want you to bring lost people to Jesus. God, I want you to bring lost people to our church. Lord, I want you to bless the ministry of First Baptist Church. And we come in and we sit down in the same seat. And if somebody's sitting in that seat, we stand or scratch our head. What am I going to do now? I can't sit anywhere else. What am I going to do? But in 2010, we hosted Tim Hawkins. And some of you were here an hour and a half early to mark your territory, to claim your seat, because we had about 1,200 people here. And you want to, I don't want somebody sitting in my seat. So you got here early. How many of you are expecting God to do anything great here today? How many expecting God to do something fantastic, unbelievable, unimaginable, unanswerable in your life today? Let me tell you something. If you're working with God, He's going to do something incredible in your life. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. Now, Wednesday morning, I preached on John 14, 6. Today, I'm preaching on John 6, 1 through 14. So I hope I don't get too terribly confused. John chapter 6. We're going to look at the message, the meal, and the miracle. John chapter 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee for Tiberias. And a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing on the sick. So Jesus went up to a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, good old Philip, where will you buy bread enough for these people can eat? He asked this to test him, for he knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough to feed each of them, to even have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now imagine this little boy sitting there. He goes, wait, he overhears this. That's my lunch. Well, hold on. All right, he said, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I got to find where. Well, but what are they with so many? Then Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves and that were left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this really is the prophet who was come into the world. Therefore, when Jesus knew that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Let's pray. God, I pray that you do a miracle in us today, through us, in our church, God. If we gather together and worship a God that we don't believe he can do miracles, Lord, why are we even here? Lord, I pray that you challenge our hearts and teach us, God, what you can do and want to do in our life, in our families, and in our church. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, I want you to get this. We're just going to have really pretty simple outline, three simple things that I want you to get out of this. Because we, as we read this historically, it's wonderful, it's fantastic. We see the things that God's doing and all this great stuff, but I don't think it matters that much if we don't understand how it can impact us. So here's the first thing I want you to notice. Jesus allowed this situation to occur. He allowed this to happen. Now, sometimes miracles come as a result of a problem. You know what the problem was here? There wasn't enough food for all the people that were there. Now, if your wife, gentlemen, if you invite a bunch of people over your house and your wife has enough to feed half of them, you're going to be in trouble because she's going to be embarrassed. She doesn't want to be a poor host and only feed some of them. So he allowed what was happening at this time with these disciples on this hillside. I want you to understand this. Whatever's happening in your life, some of you are listening to this message and think, boy, I wish God would do this miracle in my life. I wish God would accomplish this. Whatever God's allowing to happen in your life right now, that's the key. God is allowing it to happen. You say, well, I believe this is a Satan. Well, if it's a Satan, and it's happening, God is allowing it to happen. So whatever you're having to deal with, no matter how bad it is, just remember this. And I want you to get this too. The problem didn't catch Jesus off guard at all. We see his understanding in this whole situation. Jesus allowed a season of doubt in the minds of his disciples, his closest followers. You know they're processing this so fast that you can't even think about it. But God allows situations to occur in our lives. He allows things to happen. In 1 Peter 4:12, he says that we're going to experience suffering. There are going to be problems. But God allows these things in our lives for a reason. So the murmuring that you're hearing right now just might be God preparing to do a miracle in you. That fight that's going on in your mind, you're thinking, what am I going to do about this? And you're having these conversations with God and with yourself, mostly with ourselves. And you're having all these conversations and you're thinking, God, what are you going to do? I need help. Or we give up. A lot of people ask, I've got this situation here in my life. How long should I pray about it? What do you think? How long should you pray about it? What's the answer? Always till you get an answer. Until God reaches down and does something with it. And a lot of times people say to me, oh, my son, my grandson, my daughter, my whatever, they don't know Jesus. And I've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing's happened. You think I should stop? No. No. Do not stop. Never. Ever. Jesus, I want you to know this about Jesus. Jesus was not offended because these people were following him for what they could get out of him. Did you notice that? Sometimes we get a little offended. People just want what we've got. So they just come around for these things. It didn't seem to bother Jesus. They were coming to Jesus. Some people get offended when we try to do things to attract people to come to church, or we attract people to try to come. We call them hooks in the evangelism world. We put the hooks out there, and so they will come and respond maybe to the gospel, we hope. Jesus wasn't offended by them following for what we might think are the wrong reasons. But understand this, whatever's going on in your life, Jesus has allowed, at the very least, he's allowed this to happen. Number two. Jesus alarmed or tested his disciples. Sometimes God uses miracles in our lives to test us. In order to get to the need for a miracle, something might happen. So God is testing us. Can God do this? Can God do that? Listen, those two stories I shared with you are very, very real to me. And I want to tell you, they really, really stuck with me. And I never forgot every single moment of each of those two. And I don't believe those are the only two miracles that I've ever seen God do. But those two really stand out and they got my attention. In this text, verse 5, so when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, where will we buy bread so that these people can eat? Well, you're not going to Schnucks. You're not going to Walmart. There's no bakery nearby. It's almost like a rhetorical question. He asked him to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Here's the thing, folks, don't miss this. Jesus asks the hard questions. Jesus puts you and me in hard situations. He doesn't just send us down the easy road of joy where everything's going to be great and blessed and prosperous and everything's going to be just fantastic. I'm just going to sit back. No, sometimes we have to go upstream. We have to row that canoe kind of hard. We have to push and we have to trust. And sometimes we go down areas that we don't really feel that comfortable with it. But Jesus asked Philip about doing the impossible. What has God called you to do that you think is impossible? What has God asked you to do and you think this, there's no way. This cannot happen. This is impossible. What would a miracle be if it wasn't something great, right? What if I told you that that morning we just prayed for God to send some people to church? I walked out, whoa, God answered my prayer. Look at their people out there. What if I just say, God, I want you to send a visitor. We need a visitor today. Well, that's, you almost always have guests or visitors at church, so no big deal. What if I walked into the hospital and grabbed the hand of a person that just had an appendectomy and I said, Lord, I want you to heal this person, send them home. Amen. What a miracle you've done. They've gone home. But I did that with Stan Norton and he did not have an appendectomy. He had a doctor looked at me and said, short of a miracle, that man's not going home. What is a miracle if it's not something that beyond our capacity or thinking? So we have to pray big. We have to expect big, have big faith. So Jesus tested Philip. He looked at Philip, in other words, and said, well, Philip, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Philip? What are we going to do about this? Where are we going to buy enough bread? Philip said, 8 months' wages is not going to be enough to buy bread for these people. Here's the key. Don't miss this. I want you to understand this. Here's the key. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Now, why is that important right now? Because remember, we were talking about the thing that's brought you to where you are. What is the problem that you're wrestling with in your life right now? Whether it be, it might be cancer. It might be a family problem. It might be, who knows what it is? Jesus already knew it was going to happen. And Jesus already knows how it's going to end. He has it. He knows that. He's well aware of it. Andrew. He was the man that was bold enough to speak up. You might say, some people would say Andrew took a risk. I don't really like it saying a risk, but what does it mean if we don't trust God? What is going to happen if we don't trust God? What's going to take place if we don't trust God? What if my dad had recognized or didn't recognize that man that was in the garage and said, get out of here. I don't know who you are. Get out of my house. Get out of my garage. Go on. Well, the house probably would have burned down. He may have died. And if he had of, yesterday morning he told me he shared the gospel again with somebody. He wouldn't have done that. Andrew said, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Well, what is that for so many? Jesus set them down and started serving them. He knew what was about to happen. Have the people sit down, have them sit on the grass, and then Jesus did this. Jesus gave thanks. Listen, how much faith does it take for you to give thanks for something that you don't think is going to solve your problems? You're facing insurmountable odds, financial odds. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how you're going to pay the bill. Somebody comes up to you today and hands you a dollar bill. Said, listen, God told me to give you a dollar bill. And what's your first response? A dollar bill? What am I going to do with that? I owe all this money. All this is happening. A dollar bill, it'll buy a third of a gallon of gas. Right? What am I going to do with this? what's kind of what's going on here with Andrew? We see this happening. Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks to what seemingly was insignificant. Listen, whatever God's using in your life might seem to be insignificant, but it's not. And he distributed to them that were seated the fish, the bread. Listen to this. Don't miss this. When we give what we have to God, the seemingly insignificant becomes of great value. It might not seem like much, but when we give to God what seems to be insignificant, what seems to be insignificant is going to become of great value. The boy gave everything he had that day. And we don't see any record of him saying, what am I going to eat? You take my lunch, what am I eating? And why was that boy there with that pack of food? How many people go to church carrying a lunch besides me, right? Jesus gave them as much as they wanted, and there was leftovers. It was the all-you-can-eat buffet that I've ever heard about. You cannot out-give God. You can't do it. There's no way. He said, well, I'm going to give to God. You know, I've never seen somebody laying on their deathbed saying, you know, I've given my entire life to God. I've given this, I've given that. I've trusted him here, trusted him there. What a waste of time. No, I've never heard anybody say that because you cannot outgive God. The little boy said, well, okay, Mr. Andrew, here's my lunch. Do what you want with it. Take it. Use it. Then Jesus turned and amazed the crowd. And he amazed the disciples. And he amazed that little boy who we don't even know who he is. He amazed them all. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. When was the last time that God did something so great in your life that you were amazed by it? It's been too long for most of us. Has God quit doing miracles? No, you all said you believe he does. Have we quit asking for great things? Maybe we have. Have we quit trusting him? Have we quit expecting things? We expected to come into church today, David, get up and lead some hymns, some worship songs, and we're going to sit down, and we're going to hear the word of God shared, and we're going to listen to a song or an invitation hymn, and then we're going to leave, and we're going to go to Bible study, we're going to maybe eat some snacks, we're going to go home. Is that what it's all about? Really? When's the last time God really, really amazed you? To the point it's unexplainable. You know, we see illusionists do things, and the hand is slicker than the eye, and they do all these kind of things, and we don't understand, and they baffle us. But it's a trick. This wasn't an illusion. This wasn't a trick. He truly was multiplying the loaves and the fishes as they're handing them out. And they just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. No chicken place sells the bottomless bucket of chicken that I'm aware of. If you find out, tell me. I want to go there. I do love my fried chicken. Here's something I think is really neat too. The disciples didn't try to do it themselves. You know what would happen if the disciples tried to do it themselves? The same thing that happens when I try to do things myself. I mess it up. I'd have blown it somehow. I'd have messed it up. They didn't try to do it themselves. They just simply trust God. Verse 12. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing was wasted. So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves that were left by those who had eaten. Jesus did more than feed the crowd. Now, it'd been kind of cool if the story was, and the last person took the last morsel, and it was over. But that means God just meets our expectations, or he just meets our needs. But you know what I've seen, and what I've witnessed through my entire life following Christ, is that he doesn't just meet the needs. He always does more than I expected him to do. He always does greater than I thought he could do. He always does the greatest. He demonstrated the power of God on that day. I'm going to tell you what. If you and I came to church every week, every time we walk in these doors, we come into the presence of God. And every time we did, we expected God to do something miraculous. It would change our attitude toward worship. Surely this is the prophet that has come into the world, they said in verse 14. They believed. Oh, wow. This must be him. He sent the leftovers home with the boy and he gave all they had. He took home more than he came with. Here's the thing. When we let God do his thing and let him do it his way, we will be amazed. Sometimes we have plans. We know how we're supposed to do it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 is an incredible chapter about trusting God with the things that we deal with on a daily basis. Things with like food and clothing and housing and things of which everything has gone up so much in price, right? I don't do a lot of shopping, but my wife is out of town, so I went to the grocery store the other day, and I went, my goodness. Wow, no wonder we don't have any money. I thought she was wasting money. No, I really didn't think that. But I go in, and the things that I was accustomed to buying were up almost 80 to 100 to 120%. What happened? God knew that was going to happen. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, when you worry about all these things, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now get this part. And all these things will be added unto you. All these things are going to be added unto you. So you know what that says to me? Relax. Just relax. I'm an uptight kind of guy sometimes. Sometimes I feel like God just looking at me and said, would you just relax? Just chill out a little bit and relax. Jesus takes care of those who follow him. So if you were in this situation, would it be a picnic or time to panic? I'm going to give you five things, then we're going to be done. Five things that you can learn from this. These are fast. You can write them down. Five things. We've talked about them, but I want to recap some of them. Number one, God allowed this to happen. Whatever's going on in your life, God allowed it to happen. Number two, God knows the reason it's happening in your life. He knows why. It might be our fault. It may be something that we caused. Whatever it is, God knows the reason. Number three, he might be just trying to build you up to teach you something. You ever think about that? He sure taught the disciples something that day. They learned to trust him. Number four, he might be setting you up for a miracle. Those stories, we love to tell them. People are amazed. God might just be setting you up for a miracle. Number five, I don't want you to miss this. Please do not miss this. God loves you. God loves you. And he wants the best for you. Let me tell you what the first miracle I ever saw God do that I remember. I was almost 7 years old and I was quite anxious when I would go to bed at night about, of all strange things, dying. And I'd heard the preacher say that if I died where I was going to spend all eternity in heaven. In hell. And then I didn't want that. So I remember over and over thinking about that, perseverating over what am I going to do? And finally, through some wise words from God through my dad, I prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I have not panicked about eternity since that day. God wants to do a miracle in your life if you don't know Jesus. He wants to guarantee you where you'll spend eternity. If you don't know the answer to that, today's the time to find out. But something may be going on in your life that God wants to do another miracle in. Or maybe God just wants you to trust him for the miracles that he's done. Whatever is on your heart today, we're going to have a song. We're going to sing a song. If you want to come and kneel at these stairs and use them for like an altar, or you want to come and talk to me and want to pray with me, I'll be glad to pray with you. But listen, don't leave business undone today. Let's pray. God, I pray that you take the message that you so clearly laid on my heart. Lord, use it. God, do great things with me. Lord, I just want to partner with a God of miracles. Lord, I just want to see you do great things. Lord, I want to see you do great things at First Baptist Church of St. Charles. I really do. Things that we can't even explain, things that we can't even understand. Lord, I want to see you do those things. But it's going to start with us, God, individuals. So therefore, Lord, I offer myself to you. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.